Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
And so it was that while Joseph and Mary were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, the miracles of Christmas, the miracles, plural, of Christmas. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm ready for a miracle. You may be seated. The Christmas season is always full of the miraculous. Christmas never ends at our house because of a TV channel called Hallmark. If you've seen one Hallmark, you've seen every one of them. A powerful woman who had a great job in the big city somehow ends up in nowhere, USA. She has commercialized Christmas in her mind. She has lost sight of what it was since she was a little girl, and she meets some young man who they're always the most beautiful people and good-looking people in Hallmark. That just, where is that city at? I'd like to just visit there. There's no ugly people. And he makes her fall in love with Christmas all over again, and they live happily ever after. We have Christmas now in July, and those Hallmark movies, and now Lifetime play them 24 hours a day. Not only are they the same movies, they literally sign the same actresses and actors and just change their name, change the city name, and they do it all over again. And yet, Pastor Mandy and Jaden and Pastor Becky love those movies. And I do have to say this, it's a lot better than what you could be watching on TV. And so when we talk about Christmas, the miraculous is always a given, because Christmas is Christmas because of Christ. And Bishop talked about Jesus coming to us, the Immaculate Conception, and the way that Jesus was brought into this world is a miracle in itself. And so isn't it amazing that Christmas miracles are so often talked about, even from unbelievers, and the reason that they talk about it is because Jesus introduced us to the miraculous in this season. So everybody grabs a hold of that spirit. They call it the spirit of Christmas, and that anything is possible, and layaway purchases are paid by angel donors. And I thought maybe this year I should just go buy a bunch of stuff and put it on layaway with the smallest amount and see if somebody would pay off my layaways. I didn't have time to do that. I barely had time to help Santa get all the gifts. But here we see the miracle of Jesus' birth. And the miracles that will happen this year, old stories, the miracle on 34th Street, there'll be miracles that happen this week at your house. It will be a miracle if you don't have a fight with your in-laws, with your outlaws, over politics, over the turkey, over how you cut the ham, over what channel you're going to watch, Hallmark, Lifetime, NBA. It's going to be a miracle if your husband gets out of the recliner for more than 5 minutes to help do anything. It's going to be a miracle if your children don't throw temper tantrums when they don't get everything on their list from Santa Claus, or it's not the right size, color, or whatever. A lot of miracles are going to happen. What I love about Jesus is Jesus, when you read the Word of God, and this is important as we get ready for a new year to understand, when you read the Word of God, you need to understand that Jesus works in patterns, and that once Jesus does it once, that's a pattern that he sets. See, when he opened one blinded eye, there was another blinded eye, another blind man, and throughout the Word of God, we're introduced to many blind people, introduced to many. He fed 5,000 men and their families at one place, And a few chapters later, he feeds another 4,000, meaning once he does it one time, it ushers us in to the thought and the realm that anything is possible when Jesus shows up. And so the pattern of Christ that we see, that Jesus came to us, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this, but it's a powerful thing when we come to Jesus. But it is a powerful expression of love from our God that Jesus would come and leave glory and leave a place called heaven to come down to this dirty earth so that he could be close to us. But there is a pattern that Jesus sets into motion that the miraculous, which is anything that we will ever need, has been opened to us when Jesus showed up in the manger. Can I encourage you? Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says this, that Jesus came to the earth to seek and to save that which is lost. The whole reason Jesus came is we were lost and we needed finding. And so Jesus said, before they can come to me, I need to go to them. I need to leave heaven and be born in such a way that it is going to change the timeline. Everybody will have to pause and reflect and give their nod to the birth of Christ. Isn't it amazing that the atheists that make a big deal about there being no God for 364 days and sidebar here, they sure talk about God a lot for him not to exist. But for 364 days, God doesn't exist, but on Christmas, they don't show up at work. They give gifts. They sure receive gifts. They don't give that Christmas bonus back. So everybody stops and nods to the point and recognize there was a man named Jesus that showed up. They might think that he is just a man, but I'm in a church that we know he was more than just a man. He was God clothed in man's flesh, but he was the creator of the universe. The same God of the Old Testament that opened the Red Sea is the same Jesus that showed up in the manger in Bethlehem. He's the same Jesus that stood at Lazarus' grave. He's the same Jesus on the cross. He's the same Jesus that ascended to heaven. He's the same Jesus that showed up in the upper room. He is that Jesus, and I'm so glad that he came to us to seek and to save that which is lost. Then Jesus would say this about himself. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus not only came to save us, not only to save us from eternal damnation to a real place called hell, Jesus came to save us from poverty. Jesus came to save us from sickness. Jesus came to save us from bitterness, from bigotry, from racism. Jesus came to save us from feelings of no worth and no self-value. Jesus came to save us from depression. And so when he said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance, he said, not only do I want to bring you to heaven with me for eternity, but the whole reason I showed up in the manger is because this world was in a mess, and I came so that you might go to heaven, but also came so that you might live in this world victorious and not have to go through all the pain, all the muck, all the mire that everybody else goes through. And so there's hundreds of miracles we could talk about, but there's three that I want to talk about for the next 12 or 14 minutes that I believe the pattern that Jesus has set is going to change our life. The number one thing is that Jesus came to a mess. He was not born in a palace, though he's King of all kings. He was not born in the hierarchy, and Herod did not herald his arrival. Rather, Herod tried to manipulate his arrival and manipulate worship so that he could kill him. But when you understand that Jesus could have been born anywhere, but he didn't even get a chance to be born in a Motel 6, they had no room for him. He was born in a manger, what we call the nativity scene, in a barn. And I know you've got that nice nativity scene made out of wood from Bethlehem, but the real nativity scene does not look like the one you got at home. Have you ever been to a barn? Pastor Mandy and I sold our house a few months ago, and for a couple of months we lived in our barn. When I say we lived in our barn, I'm talking about she lived here, a wall, and horses. Jaden was afraid that the horse were going to kick through the wall and kick her while she was sleeping. Flies everywhere. Mandy and Jaden said, oh, the smell. And I said, it smells like money to me. I don't know what you're smelling. But the nativity scene in our mind, we see shepherds show up with pressed garments. But really, shepherds showed up with manure stains, long beards, looking like Duck Dynasty, blood from sheep that they had had to help from wounded animals or from animals that had wounded them. And when we talk about the manger wasn't a new manger. It's where they fed hay and feed. And that hay and feed, if it's not eaten, it grows moldy and there's flies and it stinks and there's manure everywhere. And they're having to push out the donkeys and they're having to push out the milk cows and all the pigs and create a space. But I'm so glad this, the miracle is this, and this is the pattern that is set, is Jesus does not come to perfect situations. The whole reason Jesus came to this earth is because it was in an imperfect state. The whole reason Jesus came is because people were lost and they could not get found. They were sick and they could not get well. They were depressed and they had no joy. And so Jesus said, I'm going to come to a mess, but I'm going to announce a pattern to Living Way Church that their life does not have to be perfect for me to show up. Their life does not have to be right for me to show up. I meet so many people that say, preacher, when I get my life right, I'm going to come to church. And I tell them on the spot, your life will never get right without Jesus. Go ahead and come. The church is not a museum of perfect saints. The church is made up of a hospital of broken people, of downtrodden people, of depressed people. But look at what the Lord has done. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus, because listen, Jesus didn't say you had to be perfect for him to come to you. He could have waited till you were perfect, but he knew without me leaving my place and being born into a messy, muddy, manure-filled manger, they'll never know that I'll show up at their worst. I'll show up when everything is not perfect. Ladies, can I help you? Gentlemen, can I help you? Your house doesn't have to be perfect this Christmas season for Jesus to show up. Sometimes we go crazy trying to get ourselves perfect. Jesus doesn't need perfect. Jesus just needs a place. Check this out. The inn was so full that they could not even give her a corner in the laundry room. Could not even say, well, you can have the lobby over there and we'll hang a sheet. They were so full of themselves that they had no room for Jesus. And we look at the inn and we look at the innkeeper and we shake our heads, but yet we still do the same thing many times in our lives, saying, Jesus, I'd like for you to come in, there's just no room. Jesus, I'd like for you to do something in my life, there's just no room. Jesus doesn't need every space in your life. He just needs a place to reside. And once he gets in one spot, he'll take over everything. But check this out. Isaiah said he would be born in a manger. Prophecy prophesied Jesus would not be born in the perfect place. He would be born in the available place. Perfection is never reached on this earth, but you can always make yourself available for the birth of Jesus Christ. Number one is Jesus came to a mess. Your life doesn't have to be perfect for your miracle to be birthed. Your life doesn't have to be roses and butterflies for your miracle to be birthed. You say, Pastor, it's been a hard year, 2018, and I know God can't bless a mess. God can't bless a mess, but God will step into a mess, and he will bless you, and he will make you what you need to be. And in that mess, Jesus came. Number two, here's another miracle about Christmas. Jesus came to ordinary people. Even though there's lineage of kingship, they're not kings. Their great, 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 20 times removed grandfathers were kings. Manny and I took Ancestry.com last year. Anybody had taken the time to do that, the expense to do that? Manny's told me forever that she's Cherokee Indian. Guess what? She's not. And now she claims that the entire Ancestry.com is a lie. She's not Cherokee Indian, but we did find out that she's a little less than 2% Pakistan. So different kind of Indian. I found out that I'm less than 2% Pakistan, 1% Grecian. It doesn't matter how many times it goes back and who you are or who's not you are. When we really break this down, Joseph was a blue-collar man just making a living as a carpenter. Mary was studying for her pre-calculus test, 16, 17 years old. Ordinary people with an extraordinary promise. That's what I am. That's what you are. We are ordinary people with an extraordinary promise that God does not move in the hearts of kings and great men and women only, but God will move in the heart of ordinary people and make them kings and extraordinary people. Esther was just a Jewish maiden, but when God got involved, she became queen and she saved her people. David was just a shepherd boy, an ordinary person, but when he allowed God to be birthed in him, it made him what God had created him to be, not what he was born to be. Can I encourage you? God has created you to be something great. And when you allow this Christmas for Jesus to be born in the manger of your heart, and you have to realize you might be the first Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian in your family, and you say, I didn't grow up with preachers. I didn't grow up in a certain denomination. I never went to Sunday school. That's okay, because God is not looking for great people. God is looking for ordinary people to make great once he resides in their life. I'm here to tell you, this building, including the man holding the microphone today, is a nobody until I met Jesus. But when Jesus stepped in the mess of my life, nobody knew who Brandon Fender was. Nobody cared who Brandon Fender was. But when Jesus showed up, he started doing something in my life. Because let me tell you something about my Jesus. He might have been born in a manger. He didn't stay in a manger. He grew up to walk on water, heal the deaf, heal the blind, be killed, and rise from the dead. All because someone allowed him space to be born. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm not finished yet. God's still growing in me. How many of you today can raise your hand and say, I'm a better person than the day I got saved? Some of your hands didn't go up. That means one of two things. You're not doing it right, or you never got saved. Not only am I a better person than I was the day I got saved, I believe I'm a better person than this time yesterday. Because the Jesus in the manger is not on formula anymore. He grew up. He confounded the teachers at 12. He turned water into wine at 30 and did a host of thousands of miracles at a pace that the Bible says if every miracle was recorded, the books of the world would not be able to contain it all. That is the Jesus that is growing on the inside of me, that is growing on the inside of you. You might have been born ordinary. You might have been born just an also-ran or a nobody, but once Jesus was birthed in you in the manger of your heart, he should grow at such a rate that you are not who you used to be. That's why Saul became Paul, because when Jesus was born in his life, it changed him at such a level that he once killed Christians, but then after Jesus was birthed in him, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was born in a mess, and he was born in the ordinary. See, one of the things that we have to do, and you've heard me preach this so many times, you have to fall in love with the everyday struggle. You can't get too high on those 5 or 6 days of your life, your graduations, the day your children are born, the day you get married, all of those great days. There's only half a dozen or so of those, unless you get married 6 or 8 times, and there's a few more. But those negate the other ones. But if we get so high on those days, we don't understand it's in the ordinary Tuesdays that aren't Christmas that Jesus is still birthed. Somewhere for those that make room for him. I think it's laughable that people would set out a nativity scene on December 25th and never darken the doors of a church. I think it's laughable that people would go to midnight mass tomorrow evening, Christmas Eve, but never darken the door of their church for the next 364 days Because it's the ordinary days and the ordinary people that God chooses to be birthed in. Whoever wants to open that gift, whoever wants to make themselves available, that's where God will be born. So he's born into the mess. He came to us in the mess. He came to ordinary people. And number three, he came in the dark of night. I love that Jesus does his best work in the darkest moments of my life. I love when Jesus does his best works when everybody else has forgotten. Everybody else has given up. Everybody else has said there is no way. I want to encourage you today that you might have been forgotten by everybody, but the Bible says in Psalm 30 verse 5 that joy comes in the morning. And the morning, not the nighttime, the morning has the darkest moments right before the sun hits that eastern sky. I am here to tell you this Christmas season, Jesus wants to be born into your mess. Jesus wants to be born into ordinary people, and Jesus wants to show up in your life when you need him the most. When the sun is not shining, the Son of Righteousness will shine. When it seems like everybody else has forgotten, like Pastor Becky said, and they're hopeless, there is a hope, and his name is Jesus, and he wants to be born in your life. And I encourage you this day, this hour, there is a Jesus that was born 2,000 years ago, but he wants to be born afresh in your life today. If you've never made the manger ready in your life, make it ready in the next few moments, because there's a Jesus that is longing to be born again. So many times in our lives, we rob ourselves of a Jesus birth because we think things that are not true about God because of things we've read on the internet, bad doctrine we've received at other churches. I want to simply tell you the gospel is the most simple message there is. We were lost, we were messy, we were nobodies until Jesus showed up in our lives. And when Jesus showed up in our lives, it changes everything, just like we sang. When Jesus showed up in my life, it changed me. It changed me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Like Bishop preached in the first service today, the wise men, after they met Jesus and worshiped him, they left a different way. Jesus has left me different than when he showed up, because the Jesus in the manger that showed up grew up to be my best friend. I talk to him every day. I talk to him when it's not December. I worship him in February. I call on his name in March. I pray and fast in April. I worship in May, every month, every day. Why? Because I was a messed up nobody. It was in my darkest moment. And Jesus said, if you'll give me a manger, if you'll make some space in your life. No, Brandon, you don't got to clean it up. I'll come and I'll clean you up. You don't got to get it right. I'll come and I'll get it right. You don't have to do anything except make a space for a miracle. Stand on your feet. No revelation dropped here this morning. Just solid preaching on Christmas. Theologians will argue Christmas was not in December. It was in June. The date Jesus was born is not what matters. It's that he was born. But I will agree with the theologians. He was born in June in my life. He was born in July in my life. August, September, November. Again in my life. Every day ending in Y, born in my life. The bad days, born in my life. The messy days, born in my life. When complete strangers show up like the shepherds, he's born in my life. When the wealthy wise men show up, he's born in my life. When I'm sitting at the table with kings and presidents and emperors, he's born in my life. When I'm standing at the street corner with somebody who's homeless and down on their luck, he's born in my life. He was born in my life when President Obama was in office. He is born in my life with President Trump in office. Jesus has been born every day since July 7th, 1999 in my life. I'm not going to let the Herod spirit kill him. I'm not going to let the naysayers kill him. When Jesus showed up, he changed everything. We are blessed, a blessed people, and I end with this. I'm blessed. I make no apologies for being blessed. Because what I preach and I believe. Can't make an apology for something that I preach. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. At the Fender house, we've got three Christmases. We got the Fender 4. We had that on Friday. We got the Fender 7. We'll have that tomorrow. Then I got the FOMAC. That's the Fender Womack. That's with my in-laws. That's next Thursday. Three Christmases. You say, that's too much. Not for somebody who allows Christ to be born every day. We open our gifts on Friday. And before we open the gifts, Pastor Man and I just shared some stuff with our children. And we had Tyler pray over the food. And Tyler prayed something that blessed me. Because he's 14, he's already talking about a car. And this is what he prayed. God, let us remember that Christmas is about you coming to us and not about the presents that we want. Not a great revelation that I've never heard from you, but from a 14-year-old boy, I said, God, let him never lose that. Let him always remember you're the reason that we exist. Because you came to us messy, you came to ordinary nobodies, and you came to us in darkness. And we allowed you to be birthed in us every day since then. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. As I was preparing for this, God just led me. And he said, I want to make sure that people know who I am in a real way. If you've heard me preach, I don't do this much in this type of setting. But I want everybody in this room to think about the cross, to think about Jesus, bloodied, humiliated, mocked, spear in his side, spikes in his hand and feet, crown of thorns, and he takes his last breath. The first breath that he took, there were six or seven people in a muddy, dirty stable. The last breath he takes is in front of thousands of hate-filled warmongers, Roman soldiers, former believers, backslidden believers, a few that still believed. His mother, Mary, who birthed him in that manger, now watches him die on a cross. And no doubt, with every head bowed and every eye closed, Mary said, why would you kill him this way? And the reason that God would kill his only son, because it was God who shed the life of his only son for us, would kill him that way, is because he cannot be born in the manger of our heart unless he died on the cross. 2 days from now, we will gather with family and friends, and we will open presents and gifts, and we'll have a great time. But God will be looking, saying, don't leave the greatest present unopened. Don't leave the greatest miracle unmanifested. Don't celebrate a holiday and forget who the reason the holiday exists. If you're in this house today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you're in this house today and you're here because your mom wanted you to be here, you're here out of religious tradition, we are so glad you've joined us today, but I want to point blank ask you, in the privacy of this moment, have you said yes to Jesus Christ? Yes to him as your Lord, yes to him as your Savior, as Luke 2:11 would say, that Christ has been born a Savior and Lord of all. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between eternity with God or a voidness without him for the rest of your life. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, in just a moment, we're going to ask you to lift your hand so we can pray a prayer with you. If you're in this house today and maybe you have said yes to Jesus, but it's been months, years, decades since you have followed through with action behind that yes, I'm talking to you too. When was the last time that you allowed Jesus to be born afresh in your life? In the count of three, I want every hand that either one of those applies to shoot up in the air. If you've never said yes to Jesus or your yes has grown cold, there's no greater time than the Christmas season to say, God, the manger of my heart, it's not perfect, but it's available. I know I've got some mess on my hands, but God, I'm available for you to be. I don't have much going for me right now. I'm just an ordinary person trying to make it through life, but God, I'm available. I'm in my dark time, but God, I'm available. The count of three, if any of those apply to you, you've never said yes or your yes has grown cold, shoot that hand up in the air. Don't hesitate, don't wait, don't procrastinate. One, two, three, hands up in the air all over the building. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Hands are still going up. Keep them up. There's another one, 19. Gentlemen, I see you in the back. That's 20, 21, 22. I see him in the balcony, 23, 24, 25. New hands still going up, 26. You're thinking about it. Way over here on my right, 27, 28. Another hand, 29. You can put your hand down. Head up, eyes open. We're going to be done in 2 minutes. That was the easy part. Jesus was born in a manger in a private moment, but he was killed in a public moment. Your accepting of Jesus happens in your heart, but there's a great statement of your faith when you make it a public proclamation that we can share and pray and celebrate with you. Very easy to do. 29 hands went up, maybe more that I just couldn't see or didn't count. If your hand went up for any reason, I want you to join us in this altar right now. Don't think about what anybody else thinks. I just want you to come and join us. All right, the ice has been broken. Here's one right here. I know those of you in the balcony, you got a long walk. That's all right. We're going to celebrate. We're going to wait on you to come all the way down. God bless you. First time guests showing up in this altar, God bless you, God bless you. Rededications, first time salvations, here they come.